Blog Talk Radio.
So the Pizza Hut $10 Tastemaker has any three toppings you want?
It's the best delivery deal around. Can't put a price on that.
Actually, you can. It's only 10 bucks.
Actually, it's only 10 bucks.
The large three-topping $10 Tastemaker.
No, Pizza Hut. It's you.
I've got to keep the calm before the storm. I don't want less, I don't want more. My father, windows and the doors, to keep me safe, to keep me warm. Yeah, my life.
So this is a product of WBNN. This is Know Your Rights, and I'm your host, Tara Strength, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in family 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Of course, this is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Oladeli and the ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. All right, the title of the show this evening is Spirituality, A New Perspective, interview with NDE Elias Jameer Pullen. The title of this poem or saying is Carnage. Laying in my cozy bed, I oft wonder why. Why am I here when others are not? Those that made a simple mistake and perish, yet I am here. A friend telling me, You have more lives than cats. Not a consolation to my deliriums. The plethora of experiences too plentiful to parlay into one poem, 16 at last count. Multiple careening crashes, a gas tank explosion, illness, being hit by a car while standing at an ATM, the litany long and varied, but one stands out. Playing on a recently unfrozen pond raft, fighting, as it were, young hearts being foolish. Falling in backwards, a non-swimmer, it is so cold, frostbite pens and needles, cold. I am going deeper, deeper, and deeper. It is getting colder and colder, darker and darker, totally dark. No lingering thoughts. It is over, then a pinprick of light drawn closer. It grows and grows until I am in the light. It is, oh, so warm here. The lack of sound creating an incredulous peacefulness for a fear-filled light. Can I stay forever? Please accept that it is not my destiny, not that day or those others rescued by a neighbor's father, delivered unconscious to a mother still questioning the why. That was by Andrea Simic. So tonight, family, we have a great show. I see Facebook Live is already cutting up early, but we're on Blog Talk, so it's okay. Elias Jermaine Pullen, I hope he's in the queue. He said he's in the queue. Is he in the queue, brother?
Can you hear me?
Yes, he's here. All right, great. So let me finish. So we have a young man here who has a story to tell. It's a story of courage and inspiration. And so we want to reserve questions till the end. I want this young brother to tell his story. It is a phenomenal story, and it just helps to connect the dots of why we're here and what it's like on the other side. So, Mr. Pulling, are you there? I heard you say your name. I heard you say you're here.
Yes, yeah.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. You know, life is good.
Good.
Second life is good.
Yes, the second life is good. Right. So tell us a little bit about what happened. Like, why did someone shoot you? Like about your story and go into it before it happened, and then, you know, what was going on after it happened for our listening audience.
Okay, yeah, because it's kind of drawn out. It wasn't just like one thing, one day. It was like a timeline, okay? So,
right.
You know, everybody, if you're ready, buckle up.
And speak loudly if you can.
Hey, look, because it's a ride, so buckle up. All right, so years back, me and a couple buddies were sitting around and joking. We decided to just take our joking seriously and put it on the internet. We're going to make a YouTube channel. We did that. All right, we all put our money together and bought a bunch of equipment. Things was working out. We were interviewing random, you know, talented people from our city. Things was going great. But then, you know, we had slowed down. You know, life was happening, so we all slowed down. In between that, I lended out our equipment to someone, and I taught them how to use it so, you know, they can do their own thing. I ain't no hater, so that's just how I get down. You know, if I know something, I'm going to share it, like I'm doing right now. So months go by. I'm asking for my equipment back. They're not responding back to me like as usual. You know, they don't want to link up. They're not linking up where where everybody else linking up to hang out with each other. You know, that type of situation. So one day I see the person who has my stuff, and they like, yeah, you want it, you can come to my house and get it. You know, all this attitude. Me, how I am, I don't avoid confrontation, which is why I got shot. So. I go to the house, I go get my stuff, we start arguing, you know, right there. But I was like, you know what, I got to go because I really got some important stuff to do tomorrow. Sorry, I'm about to do this today. But next time I see you, it's funk, you know. It's whatever next time I see you. So that argument in the, you know, in the parking lot went to text messages, right? And the text messaging got really foul, you know, and I'm going to take responsibility for myself and accountability. I got out of pocket first, okay? And he took it to a level that I was not willing to take it to. So he said, next time I get your kid, I'm going to kill him. I'm just like, damn. Okay, let me be a father. Let me stop being all the extra stuff. Let me be a daddy. So I call my baby mom. I'm like, yo, things between me and such is real ill, like bad. Don't take our kid over there no more. Don't do that, like drop him off and I have to go find our son. Because that's one thing that my baby mom used to do, which is drop our son off at my random friends or family houses and I have to play this Where's Waldo with my child. So, but he was like the main person that she would just randomly drop him off to. All right, so I call her. You know, we have a conversation, about 10 minutes maybe, 20 minutes at maximum. So, you know, we agree, and it's about the first time we ever agree about anything, you know, since we stopped talking to each other, you know, stopped being with each other like that. So I go to bed with a peace of mind, honestly. You know what I mean? Because she tells me my son is at his grandma's house, her mom. And, you know, I go to bed with a peace of mind, you know. I wake up to a call from a blocked number because I blocked his number and all that type of stuff. But I wake up to a call from a blocked number. You know, excuse my language, y'all. I told y'all to buckle up. Hey, bitch-ass nigga, that's why I got your son. Now what you gonna do? Now, anybody you on this line, if you a parent, you already know what time I was on. This is my first child, by the way, too, my first son. So you already know, like, where my emotions were mentally and all that type of stuff, where I was at. So I get up, and I run to my mom's house, because I actually lived around the corner from my mom's house. I run to my mom's house, I snatch her keys, grab the truck, and I zoom to the other side of town. I remember listening to, like, two DaBaby songs. I just plugged my phone in, press play, and got to driving. Two songs, that was it, and I was there. All right, I get to the door, and it's locked. I kicked it down like Michael J. White. This is what people are telling me. I kicked the whole door off the hinges. I don't know how, but it happened. I walk towards the kitchen because I remember him telling me how he would kill my kid. So I'm like, let me go to the kitchen and see. Now, mind you, I look into their whole little setup in their house is not, you know, how it usually is. Usually they got, you know, miscellaneous stuff everywhere, plates and shoes, you know, chip bags, diapers, everywhere. Everything is everywhere. The whole apartment is one room type of thing. So, but this day, it was absolutely clean. I was like, what the hell? They did something to my baby and cleaned up after themselves. This ain't it. So if my baby up in here dead, bro, I got to be the one to let people know I'm his daddy. Ain't nobody going to tell me that my baby's dead, bro. And I'm the reason why all this is going on. So I got to go find him. So I go walking towards the bathroom. As I'm walking towards the bathroom, like, I feel like a presence behind me. So I'm like, I turn around. I don't know what this was. This is like my metagenes kicking in or something. I just felt it. I felt something behind me. So I turned around. It's my brother and his baby mom coming out of a closet. Now, me and my brother and his baby mom, we have a history of not liking each other, you know, because I always try to break them up. I'm going to be real. I always try to break them up because she's not good enough for my brother. But she got a hold on them. So they come out of this closet, gun pointed in my face. Now, time goes like this super slow quantum speed type of thing. Like, everything's super slow. Because I'm looking at him, looking at his, reading his body language, reading his facial expression, looking at her facial expression, looking at the gun, seeing if it's loaded. Mind you, the gun that he shot me with, I taught him how to put it together and clean it and whatnot. You know, how to use it. So here we are. I'm getting shot by that same gun. Bow, first shot goes into my like right nose, like nostril area. Okay. Boom. Second shot. As I'm going down, second shot ricochets off my chin bone. And I don't know, incredibly strong bones because the bullet didn't go through my chin. It just bounced off. And the other bullet didn't go through my head. It stopped at a certain point between my second and third vertebrae. So I'm on the ground, okay, shot. I probably lost, like, I was disoriented for, like, milliseconds because I remember trying to get back up, okay? As I'm trying to get back up, you know, I'm hearing, he's moving again. Shoot him. Shoot him. Move him. He's moving. I'm like, you know, you better not shoot me. You know, I'm like, you better not shoot me. And, you know, I'm talking, I'm not begging for my life at this point. You know, I'm just talking as much shit as possible, you know. So then what they do, they come over and start putting their feet and heels on me like a welcome mat. I mean, really kicking my ass, you know. I remember the first kick was the most brutal. I've been jumped before by grown men, okay? That first kick was incredible. I ain't never been kicked like that before. Every ounce of wind came out of my body. And then after that, I just started feeling them on my back and on my legs. They was really doing me dirty. So, you know, after that, I remember somebody saying, hurry up and die. We finally got you. Like, finally got me? What y'all been plotting? So, somebody called the police probably because the way I was driving. Or, no, let me take it back. My brother's baby mom, she called the police prior to me getting there saying that I was her ex-boyfriend. And I was coming to harm them. So the police said, hey, do what you got to do to protect your home. But that wasn't the case. People lured me there. So, you know, let me go back to being shot. So I'm shot. They stomp me out. All right. You know, hurry up and die. Police come. Boom. Police are there. All right. They pull up. They like, come outside. You know, all that extra police stuff. So they run outside. This idiot's cleaning off the gun that he owns, that he just shot in his house. You have gun residue on your hand. That didn't make no sense. I always think that's stupid, you know. But so they run outside, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, when I get up, I'm about to fuck them up. Oh, they did me foul. I'm not having this, you know. But I am bleeding to death. I mean, the blood is coming out of my face so thick it's like damn near like yogurt almost. It's thick, you know. So I'm laying there, and I'm like, all right, I'm just rest a little bit. When I get up, though, it's funk time. But some voice was like, get up. I'm like, nah, I'm going to chill for a little bit. Then I heard the voice get louder. Get up. So I'm like, all right, get up. Leaking still. I didn't heal that fast. I'm still leaking. Get up. So I start to stumble towards the door to go outside to get some help for myself because motherfuckers just left me there to die. You know what I mean? Like a damn dog, like a damn pigeon in the street. You know what I mean? Like, damn. So I get up. I'm walking to the door, and I hear the same voice in my left ear. Take your clothes off. They're going to shoot. They're going to shoot you. Take your clothes off. They're going to shoot you, like real solid. I'm like, all right. So I take my hoodie off. Take my pants off. Take my shirt off. Now I just got my drawers on and my socks. I'm going down this little stairs because to get to the parking lot, you got to go down some stairs. You hit this little pathway. Then you got to go back up some stairs to get to the parking lot. I did that. I get to the top of the parking lot. Every gun you could think of that's issued to Portland police officers was pointing at me that day. They was loaded up. Like I was a Buffalo shooter, like they should have. You know, so I'm like, you know, trying to get some help for myself, telling these cops, I need some help. I need some help. They're like, no, put your hands in there. I'm like, how am I a threat? I'm damn near naked and got two bullets in me. What could I do? I put my hands in there and passed out, hit the wet, cold ground. December 28, 2018, cold, wet ground. It was cold. And ambulance come, or like the cops get to me first, I think, because I remember being in handcuffs at one point, and then I remember being on like the thing that the gurney thing they put you on, you know, to get to the ambulance. I remember being on that, but I remember my arms being behind my back and it was hella uncomfortable. I remember that, and then I'm moving all around. They finally get me into the ambulance. Somebody in the ambulance, one of the EMTs, was like, "Who put these damn cuffs on them? Take them off." I remember hearing that. I remember at that point where I'm laying in the ambulance, and like they're like, you know, loading me up with all this, like, I don't know what they was putting in me, honestly. And that time, I'm not even worried about what anybody else but myself. Now I'm having this out-of-body experience because, like, my system is shutting down. My, like, nervous system shutting down. I'm feeling this shit shutting down from my toes, coming up to my ankle, coming up to my shin, coming up to my thighs. And I'm like, damn, am I going paralyzed? Okay, cool. At least I can work my, I control my internal, you know what I'm saying, my insides. I can control that stuff. Focus on breathing. So I'm like having this out of body experience with myself, telling myself to breathe. Like I'm sitting in like a football stance, you know. If you know how you huddle up, I'm in like that little on my knee type of thing, and I'm like elbowing myself, like breathe, bro, breathe, like that. So as I'm trying to breathe, you know, the breath is just getting from like 100. It goes from like 60. It went from like 100 to 60, 60 to 30, 30 to 10. That 10 went to zero. Everything went black, and then all these little white sparkles start coming in. You know, and they look like sparkly shards of glass start coming in, right? But they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger and turning white. You know, they was like kind of colorful, but then getting white, and then they were getting bigger. But in this blacked out session, so then everything went white. I'm like, okay, guess that's it. That was it. I don't remember traveling to the next destination that I went to. I don't remember meeting nobody that, or maybe I did, I just don't remember. But I don't remember how much time it took for me to be back aware into this next place that I went to. You guys took our seatbelts on, we can talk about the next session, or the next spot I went to.
I have a question before you go further.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So you said this guy and his girlfriend, the guy was a friend of yours, and you thought the girl was bad for him, right?
Always.
So what happened for both of them to want you dead? And the other guy was supposed to be your boy, right?
Well, I always try to – sometimes I try to leave this part out because it's kind of embarrassing. But since you asked, I might as well just tell it. So – months before I let him borrow my equipment, he revealed to me that he got caught up in cheating, and he got caught up cheating with a trans person. And I was the only person that knew this. Only other person besides, you know, his girlfriend or whatever. So in between that argument that we were having, like I said, I got out of pocket first. This is some of the things that I said that was out of pocket at first. So I believe that I didn't want this information out because once I get mad, I was going to probably out him. I don't know. Something.
He's going to tell you.
But then there's also a history between me and the girlfriend getting into it, you know. So.
Right. Okay. So he was afraid of you telling everybody because you were mad at him. And so then him and his girlfriend decided, you know, it's best to kill you? Really?
That's what I'm assuming, because I've been a street nigga, I've been out here doing my thug thizzle, but like I ain't been out of pocket, I ain't been foul, I got a moral compass, you dig? So it's not like I look out for everybody. I'll go without.
Right.
I would take my shoes off my feet and give them to you, because I got more. I can get more, and I'm always gonna have more, because God be plugging me like that. So it's nothing.
Right.
So it's with anything I have. So, I don't know what it was about, to be truly honest. Besides of what I think it's about, you know.
Wow, I just wanted to ask. That's deep, man. That's deep. Really, I was just like, you know, like, is it really that serious? Like, you want to kill a person in the house? Over all that. I mean, you kicked the door down, so they figured, you know, I get that.
Right,
but.
Yeah, I mean, if a random person kick your door down, you're going to do what you got to do, right? Makes sense. But I'm not random. You know who I am. You said you had my baby over here and you're going to kill him. You know why I'm over here. Don't do that.
So you really thought they were going to kill your child? You really thought that?
Oh, they had my child. I did call my, when I got that call, like, oh, I got your son, you bitch ass nigga, now what you gonna do? I did call my baby mom. It's like, yo, where my son at? Why are you asking me that question? I'm, yo, squeeze my language. Bitch, where the fuck is my baby?
Right.
Oh, I dropped him off over there. Man. So I have to get over there because I know this person better than anybody. Better than anybody.
Right.
I know what they're capable of, I know what they will and won't do behind closed doors when no one's looking, when no one thinks they're looking. I know this person like that. So when they say that stuff to me, it's like, yo, that's not, even if it, that's not something you even joke about, doing something like that to somebody, baby. You know?
Right.
Even the worst of rappers who's funking, who got beef, don't talk about each other's babies. They don't do that.
Right. Wow. All right, you can go ahead and talk about what happened. I just had to process that. You know, I'm like, is it really that serious? You know, so I'm just blown away by the fact of how you got there and for them to see a reason to do that. You know, like, does anybody fight anymore? I'm like, really? Do these kids fight?
I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter. I be throwing these paws, man. So I didn't fought battles for this person. Like, literally have called me, yeah, man, these dudes up here. Okay, here I come. You know? I'm that guy. I'm the reliable friend, cousin, brother, big homie, little homie. I'm going to pull up for you no matter what it is. You got to go to a job interview? Bro, come on, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You need to go to a grocery store?
Right.
Man, come on, bro. Get in the car, bro. That's me. Oh, you scared? Bro, come on. We going to go together. I'll go with you. We ain't scared of nothing over here. God got us, bro. What you scared of? You scared of these humans? Okay.
Unbelievable. So, all right. Go ahead and continue the next roller coaster ride, you said.
Okay, so the next dip in the roller coaster. So everything goes black, everything goes white. I don't know how long it took for me to come to, but I come to. I come aware, I come awake, I don't know what to call it. In this other land, I call it the underworld, the in-between, I don't know, but I was in this place, okay? And it felt different than dreaming, because I'm a super dreamer. I know when I'm dreaming. I'm conscious of my dreams. I can switch dreams. I can leave dreams, you know. I know I can change dreams, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know when I'm dreaming. This was different. I've never even had this experience since dreaming. I mean, since I've had this experience. So I wake up in this other place. Okay. And I started examining my body, like you know, looking at myself, because I didn't remember what happened. I didn't remember nothing. I just was like, what is this? You know, so I'm looking at my body. I don't have no scars. No, I got tattoos and scars all over my body. None of that was there. Okay, I got a beard right now. I usually try to keep a beard because people call me, I say I look like a baby. So I try to keep a beard on my face. That wasn't there, you know. I felt like teenage me or something. I felt my body felt like a teenager. Like I felt like, because I'm 30 now and I got shot when I was like 26, 27. So this felt like I was like 17, 18. I know what my body felt like. If you know what you felt like in the ages, y'all. So, and I feel my face is so young as well. So I didn't see my legs. That was tripped out because I could not see my legs. And I didn't have on the clothes that I like was in when I was on the, you know, in the living world, I guess. But I also was, like, almost naked, too. So, but I had, like, this gown thing on, right? So I started looking around after examining myself. I started examining my environment. I'm like, yo, why don't I hear nothing? Like, I don't hear cars. I don't hear birds, no squirrels, dogs, cats. So I'm not seeing any bugs. I'm not seeing nothing. It's just, like, really just nothingness. And then I look at the sky to, like, I have this thing with the sky where I look at the sky to determine what time it is. Just that's just my little fun thing I do with myself, right? But it also really helpful. So I'm looking at the sky to see what time it is, and the sky is just not, it's beautiful. Can't tell what time it is. It's just colors I can't even describe. Like I was like pink and yellow and blue and green and orange and just like so many colors. And it was like nice. It looked like dawn or like dusk or something. It was beautiful. like indescribably beautiful because I can't describe the colors. So I just get to moving around, and as I'm moving around, I notice I don't feel this the rhythm of walking. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody, you know, when you walk down the street, you got a rhythm. You know what I'm saying? A little bop. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't feel that. I just felt motion. I'm like, okay. Now I couldn't move backwards either. So I'm like, okay. Then I can't look behind me. I'm like, okay, that's weird. But let me just move on. So I'm moving through this place that I was in, and I believe that the second place that we go to after this is like custom to the places that you most love, I guess, or where you got your most soul tied to. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm from Chicago and Portland. You know what I'm saying? I was born in Chicago, go there all the time, but I was raised in Portland and living here for a long time. So when I was in this place, it looked like a perfect blend between the two. You know what I mean? Like the St. John's Bridge is a big bridge in Portland, Oregon. But it was going over all the way over the Michigan Lake. If you out there, you know what I'm talking about. That don't even make sense. All right? Or like the Staples Center, or not Staples Center, but the United Center was where the Rose Garden is supposed to be at. You know, it was just like everything was mixed up. Or Jack's Chicken was on off of Lombard or off of Deacon or something. It was just so perfectly blended. So I'm looking around. I don't see much. I don't see no people, but it looked like people was here. You know what I'm saying? Like his coats hanging off of chairs, you know, and I see like a purse in here and there. I see plates out and all this type of stuff. It was like almost people was here doing their thing, popping it, and then they heard I was coming and everybody dipped out. You know, that's what it kind of looked like. Like you ever come to your house, you're like, dang, somebody was just here. I feel like somebody was just up in here. I don't know if anybody else knows what I'm talking about, but I don't know. This isn't me. So, okay, so I'm walking around. I'm just looking around. And I'm like, okay, so I must be dead or something. I got to be like a ghost or something because this is not normal at all. I ain't never been in this place before, you know, but it's cool. I'm not tripping. I don't feel nothing. But that's another thing. I didn't feel nothing like negative energies. I wasn't hungry, thirsty. I wasn't worried about paying bills. I wasn't scared. I didn't feel fear of no sort. You know what I'm saying? Like anxiety, you know what I'm saying? PTSD, none of those things. I didn't feel none of those things. I wasn't even thinking about none of those things. I wasn't thinking about nobody unless they was dead. So I went to go look for my dead friend, CP. Okay, he's like one of the homies, one of the first homies who died. Okay, like we was in high school. He died, like senior year he died. So I'm like, yo, let me go pop it with the homie. Like if I'm over here, he been over here, let me go see if he here. Let me go see if I can find him. Let me just, you know that stuff that be in movies when ghosts go see ghosts and all that stuff. I thought that stuff was some type of real. So I went to go see if I can, you know what I'm saying, go see the homie. So I go to go look for him. As I'm going to look for him, this store pops up in the distance, but that's another thing. When you're going, it don't take a long time to get to where you want to go. Because, like I said, when I woke up, I was looking at my surroundings. The city that I went to looked at far, but once I got to moving, I was there almost in 4 seconds. After a couple, you know, movements, tours, I was there. Same thing when I went to go look for my homie. I saw this store that we always used to link up at when we was kids because they had let us get whatever we want up out of there, like whatever we want. It was the delinquent store, you feel me? So, but they had this certain light in their parking lot that's like, it just beamed super hard in this cone-like shape into the parking lot. And we would always meet there because you can't miss it type of thing. So, you know, like you can't miss me if I'm standing under the cone, bro. What you mean? Like, that's just, you know. So I get to the spot, and it's like a letter there, right? But it's not a physical letter. And it's like I get into the spot, and it seems like I snapped into this, like, I don't know, image is I'm picking up a letter, and the letter has said, this ain't the meeting spot no more, bro. I'll see you later. So I'm like, dang. I done came all this way. I done went through it all, man. And you ain't even here? Typical CP, you know. So
after wow.
I see, like, this weird thing. I don't even know what it's described. It looked like a shrub, a bush, or a blob. And it was, like, black, and it had, like, this aura around it. It was kind of, like, orangey, reddish color. I don't know, because it wasn't red and it wasn't orange. I don't know, but it had, like, this aura around it, right? And then I instantly got irritated. I got in my feelings, like, yo, you got something to do while I'm here, or you know, or something. I instantly got an attitude, so I tried to go towards the thing. I call it a distraction because it only came up when I got distracted from what I was doing, minding my business. So as I'm trying to get to the thing, the distraction, I feel this sensation of pulling on me like fish hooks, like from the top of my head all the way down to my ankles, or at least like the bottom of my gown or whatever. Like, y'all ever been into an altercation? I ain't a perfect person, so I do not mind being real. I've been to altercations where I'm trying to get on somebody's head, and people are like, no, don't do it. And, you know, you're grabbing on your shirt, grabbing on your pants. It felt like that.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of restraint. And I'm like,
wow.
Nah. Try to get to it, right? Then eventually, I just never minded and started walking towards the Michigan Lake area. I sit on this big old bench. It's abnormally big. It's not human size. It's not people size. It ain't even Shaq size. Not even Yao Ming size. You know what I mean? It's a big one. But look, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help but be amazed by it, because secretly I'm starting to release this information by myself now. It's becoming common knowledge at this point. But always, none of the homies used to know this about me. I love carved wood. Carve things out of wood, secret love. You know what I mean? Closet wood lover, I guess, whatever you want to call it, you know. And I had to go to this bench. So I know this is heaven. I got to be in heaven. All the things I love is here. Water, Chicago, Portland, carved bench. And as I sit on the bench, a huge movie screen come out of the water. Like, it like appears above the water. And I'm like, okay, it's lit. Okay, I ain't got to go nowhere. I'm going to get to watch movies for eternity. Cool. Was not movies. Not a TV
Mr.
show.
Paul.
Yes.
Yes. I want to pause for a second. I want you to continue. We have a track in the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O. He's going to play a song, and after the song, we're going to get back. We're just playing this one song. And then we're gonna get back, and then after that we have questions. This story is crazy, man. So we're gonna have a track next from Brother O. All right, Brother O.
nothing left to lose. I'm so high it makes my brain whirl. Chop my cell phone down below. Heads are just like beans.
All right, Brother O, I want to thank you for that track, Mr. Pullen. So you can go ahead.
Yeah.
And, you can go ahead and continue. All right, good.
Okay, everybody, y'all ready? So, like I said, the, like this huge screen come out of like the water, like above the water. It's like a drive-in movie theater screen size. It's huge. I'm sitting there, right, and I'm like watching these little, like, Snapchat-like type videos. They're just, like, videos of random scenes of whatever was going on Earth at the time or the future. I don't know, but I started seeing all this random stuff. Random people. I don't even know. Some of y'all might have been in there. I just don't remember. But then it came to a point where it was just something about me, and it stopped and it slowed down. And watching myself on this boat, like this big yacht, and as I'm like watching, getting focused, I start feeling as if I was there. Like I start feeling the sensation of the waves of being out on the water and the mist and the air and the sun. I felt it all. I even felt the clothing that I had on. It was very nice clothing. I was dipped, you know, and had all my gold. I just wasn't going to fly on this yacht with all these other random people that I watched myself on this boat or whatever. And I remember because at the point where I was on that boat, somebody had like asked me like, oh, like what happened to you? Or like, what's up? Like, why are you here? Or whatever. And I was like, oh, like years back, I got shot in the face twice. And they're like, no way. And all this other stuff. And then we just started chopping it up. And I remember some guy in a wheelchair was there. There were some other people there. And I was older too, though. I look about 10 years older than I am now, maybe. I don't know. But I did look older, 20 years maybe. And so I'm watching that. And as I'm watching that, I look to my right, and, like, I see, like, this, I don't even know, like, this lady, this woman. She was, like, 17, 18 feet tall. She was humongous, super tall. And she was glowing, like, she was, like, golden brown. And her head was shaped like an almond, but like a slender almond. And her hair was like super long and thick and curly. Like the curls is like incredibly thick. And they were just like thick from like, I don't know, like the curls started in the scalp and came all the way down. And it was long and it was just looked spongy. And then I just never could see her facial like features. I never could see because it's like, she was, like, bright and stuff, but, like, not blinding light. It was really soft, and, like, I got this feeling of, like, incredible comfort, incredible love, incredible understanding, like, beyond belief. Whatever you can imagine, times that 100,000, 100 million thousand, actually. Because I have children I've never felt this stuff feeling before. I done seen my babies be born, bro. And held them seconds after they came out of their mother. I still ain't felt this level. You know what I'm saying? Like, I cannot describe it. All right? So I'm sitting there, and she's sitting next to me, but she's not talking with her head. She's telling me all this. She's not talking with her mouth. I'm, like, listening with my brain. We're telepathically connected at this point. She's telling me all this stuff about myself, about my past, about everything, you know? And, like, was like, you know, oh, you know, you're a good person. You're honest. You're strong. This, that, and the other. You know, you're doing okay. You're okay. You're all right. You're doing fine. All this really super encouraging, really pumping me up. All this encouragement, all this love. You know what I mean? Like, you ever just been on a bad one, not having a good day, and you go to your great auntie house, your grandma house or something like that, and you just get that, what you need, whatever that is? That's
right,
what that was like.
Right.
But, like, beyond.
Wow.
So she encouraged me to, like, you know, all this other stuff, told me all these beautiful things about myself, you know, everything that I be on, keep being on that. How I am, keep being like that. Clean it up.
Wow.
You know
what
I mean? But you okay? I'm like, oh, man, I done did this, and I done acted like that, and I done said this to people, and you worried about nothing. Pretty much how she summed it up. You worried about nothing. Those things mean nothing.
That's what she said. Wow. Listen, Mr. Paul, got you. We have another caller in the queue. We have a caller in the queue. They have a question or a comment for you. Caller one, who am I speaking with?
Hi. Peace and blessings, Brother Terrence, and peace and blessings to your guests.
How are you doing, Sister Bessie? How's everything going?
Oh, okay. I'm enjoying the brother's story of him dying and returning. And I just want to speak to him because he's younger than I am. And something happened today that I thought was pretty strong feeling from an encounter that I had today. It was a young man that was on the train. Well, before we got on the train, I sat there, and I said, how you doing, brother? How are you? And I believe he may have been about 19 or 21 years old. And I started talking to him, and I asked him how was he feeling, and is he having a wonderful day? The young man told me, he said, no. He said that I wish that I could leave this earth. And it struck me, and it did something to my heart. And so I began to talk to him, and I talked to him about the Creator, how I felt about the statement that he made, and I told him what I had went through. But when I left him, he was smiling, and I think he was on his way to work. But I thought it was kind of strange that a young person would admit to a stranger that they did not want to live. And I tried to give the best advice to him to keep his spirit together. What do you think about that, my brother?
First thing I think is he needed that. That was divine. He was supposed to be in that spot at that right time. That's the first thing I'm thinking. You probably stopped a really bad day from happening for him and everybody to love him. That's the first thing I'm thinking. But secondly, we need that. We need that. I'm going to speak for my generation, that everybody is like my age and talk like me and look like me. We be needing that. We be needing somebody random that got a look, a sweet face and a sweet voice to ask us, are we okay today? Because we be going through it. We got parents that don't care about us. We got jobs that treat us like shit. Some of us got kids that we trying everything we can besides illegal activity to take care of them, and then we ain't got nobody to turn to. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Go to church, they judging you, acting funny style. You're not going to tell people to work all your business. You know, so, we be needing that. You probably really gave him the hope that he needed for to keep pushing, for real.
Yes.
For real, I'm thanking you for him. For real.
Yes, I thank you for your comment. Now I understand, because sometimes I understand that we are placed in positions on the street to help somebody, and we just got to be ready when it's time for us to help that person and speak. So I want to thank you so much for telling your story. I'm going to sit back and listen. And, Brother Terrence, you the bomb. I love you dearly.
Thank you, Sister Bessie.
Thank you.
You know I love you. When is your show, Sister Bessie?
My next show is June the 24th.
Okay.
All yes. Right.
Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your comments. You know I love you anyway. And I will talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we be needing that. There's been days where I've been like, dang, I ain't got nobody to give me a verbal pat on the back. You know what I mean? He needed that. I really appreciate her doing that for him.
Right. I think a lot of times us parents and things, we don't understand what our children, what these kids are going through. All we see are the bad things that are happening, and we really don't think about what these children aren't getting. You know, we just get caught up in our own stuff, and we don't really think about it. And then when something bad happens, we get all up in arms about something bad happening, but we're not thinking about what their life is like for them with no support and all this other stuff that's going on. You know, everyone is in their own world, in their own dream. So it's unfortunate, and we must do better. If things are going to change, we have to do better and take that responsibility. So I'm glad that you're talking about this and this perspective and everything, and I'm glad you gave Sister Bessie some encouragement, you know, and let her know and give her a shout-out on that. All right, so you met the big lady.
Yeah, so I met the golden lady, and after she like tells me all these good things about myself, I'm like, you know what? I still feel like I'm a bad person. I'm not worthy. She like, nah, don't trip on none of that. You tripping on nothing, bro. Like, but you got to go back. I'm like, what? I got to go back. I don't want to go back. I like it right here. I like it right here in this spot right here. I'm not worried about nobody getting shooting at me. I'm not worried about getting robbed. I'm not worried about bills. I'm not worried about a boss. I'm not worried about no kids. I ain't worried about nothing. I'm chilling. She's like, nah, you got to go back. I'm like, dang. So as I said, as I feel a little, like, upset, I guess, about having to go back to the living world, right, I look away. And then when I look back, she was gone. She had, and that's another thing. I always say, if you get your eye on God, if you ever get opportunity to, because I always think she's God, if you ever get opportunity, don't look away. You better soak it all in. You look away, gone, like that, gone. So I still sitting on the bench. She's gone, and I'm looking for her. Then I look a little bit further. I see the distraction. I'm like, damn, you again, you know. Then all the whole scenery changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. The bench was gone. Lake gone. Everything gone. It was just almost nothingness, right? And I'm trying to get to the thing, but to the distraction. But it's like quicksand. It's like those hooks I was telling y'all about. They just stronger. Like I couldn't move. I'm getting angry because I couldn't move, right? So this whole time, I'm in a coma because, mind you, I was in a coma for 3 days. I woke up on January 1st. So my wife now, she was at my house, cleaning my room, playing music that I play often, talking to me and whatnot. Not to my body, but, like, talking to me in my room and stuff. Now, mind you, she played a couple of songs back to back to back to back to back. Like, it was an Anthony Hamilton song she played, like, back-to-back. It was a Jasmine Sullivan song she played back-to-back. And then, like, this other artist back-to-back. It was, like, 4, 5, 6 times in a row, each of them. As I'm trying to get to this thing, I hear music. I'm like, where's music coming from? I haven't heard music since I've been here. I don't know how long I've been here, but I haven't heard music this whole time. I got to go find the music. Instantly stop thinking about the distraction. I love music. And if you hear music playing, it got to be a good time somewhere. That's what I'm thinking. So let me go see what this good time is happening at. So I go making my way towards the music. You know what I'm saying? Following the sound of music. And so I get to moving towards the music. Get to moving towards the music. And the music is getting louder. It's getting louder. It's getting louder. It's getting louder. I'm like, okay, where is it at, though? Because I don't see nothing. I don't see anybody, but I can hear the music. And it's loud. It's right above my head. So I look up. As soon as I look up, I start going up. Beat me up, Scotty. Start going up. So I go up, and then I wake up in my bedroom, like the place that I lived at, the place that I left before I got shot. That's where I woke up at. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck, what a trippy-ass dream, bro. Why the fuck did I get shot? Like, I'm tripping. I'm moving my legs in my bed to feel the friction to see if it's, you know what I'm saying, see if this shit real. I touched the condensation on the window. This shit real. Okay, cool, I'm here. That was all a really fucked up dream. All right, so I get up. I start walking towards from my bedroom to the bathroom in the hallway, and I see my wife in there. I'm like, yo, Mari, I got the craziest story to tell you. I'm breaking it down, really busting down the story to her. She's giving me no responses at all, not even acknowledging my existence. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really tucking and telling her all this crazy stuff. She didn't even, like, acknowledge me. So at the end of it, I was like, Mari, I went to go tap her arm. I'm like, you don't hear me? And my arm went through her, and I was like, what? Oh, my gosh. What is this, bro? So what is this? What is this? Where am I at? Because at this point, I'm still conscious of what these new places are. I'm like, where am I at, bro? What is this? I thought I was all a dream. What is this? So I start looking around. I'm like, oh, shit, this ain't right. Things are starting to look, it don't look real. It looks foggy and it's like distorted. It don't look real. So what is this? I look at my stairs, and my stairs don't look normal. There's like 4 or 5 stairs, maybe less than that, was like normal stairs. And after that, it was just pitch black. I'm like, bro, what is this? Because this looks funny outside when I looked at the window, but now I'm looking out there, it's pitch black, bro, what is this? All right, be a G, bro. Go down there. See what time it is. Don't be a punk now. go down there. So I go down there. When I go down there, I wake up in the hospital, conscious in the hospital. And then, boom, I only remember two things when I woke up. I remember my mom's cell phone number. No, I remember my wife's cell phone number. Yeah, it was like my wife's cell phone number. My mom's name or something like that. But I do remember my wife's number. That was like one thing I remember. And I called her. Boom.
Mr. Pullum, before you go further, all right, we have another caller in the queue. Caller two, who am I speaking with?
Hi, Terrence. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia.
How are you doing, Mo? Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to call in and support your show. I have a question for your guest.
Yes.
Mr. Pulling, I know you were in a coma for 3 days. I heard you say that. But do you know how long you were pulseless? And if, did you ever get your hospital records to confirm that you had died?
I don't know how long I was pulseless. And I never went back and got none of that stuff. I just been living since then. But I just remember everything stopped working. I remember my lungs stopped working. I remember feeling the last beats in my heart because they did like three or four last real hard beats, and then I just stopped feeling that, and then my lungs went out, and then everything was gone.
Wow.
I remember those last beats were like rocking my body so hard, and then I remember not feeling nothing no more. Yeah.
That's just an amazing story. Yeah,
it would be
great to have it documented because it would be great to have that on the record. That, you know what I mean? Like, just to have it.
Yeah.
So you can say, I was actually did not have a pulse for 5 minutes. Whatever. Wow.
A long time.
Well, thank you for bringing us this unique story.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, God knows I'm a talk, so that's probably why I was put in this situation.
All right.
Mo, when is your next show, Mo?
My next show, Breaking the Silence, will be on Friday, June 17th.
Okay. Great. Well, we're looking forward to checking out your show. I see you're going to have a unique guest on your show next, so we're looking forward to checking him out.
All right. You're funny.
Thanks for calling in. All right, so Mr. Pullum, go ahead and continue. So it sounds like, so the person, I thought that was your girl. You said your hand went through her, or?
Yeah, so like when I was beamed up from wherever I was at, I thought I woke up in my real life and it was all fake, but I wasn't. I was in like some second level of the dream underworld, I don't know. And my arm went through her, like I went to hit her arm to like get her attention, but my arm just went right through her.
Hmm. So you weren't all the way back yet?
No. And it just felt so real because she always wakes up before me, and she always just starts doing her own thing, you know, living her life. And I wake up, babe, I have this incredible dream, because I always have these incredible dreams, you know, and about all type of stuff, and I always wake up and tell her. So it felt all normal to me, but it just wasn't real.
Right, wow. Wow, this is crazy, because it's funny, because we did a show with, the previous show was with Mr. Eugene Braxton, and he was talking about how important the dreams are, and what it means when we have a lot of vivid dreams, and you sound like you were dreaming all the time anyway before this whole thing happened.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Having dreams.
I mean, before this happened to me, I was a powerful dreamer. I remember my dreams. I used to write my dreams down when I was a kid, you know, because they were just so vivid. It was like, bro, I cannot believe that was a dream, you know. So I used to write them down.
You didn't know. Yeah, you didn't know who you were before. You didn't know who you were before all this happened and what all that meant. You were very evolved in the first place before this happened. No one told you.
Yeah, I used to always wake up when I was a kid, tell my mom, Mom, I had a dream about this person. And then my mom would be like, hey, man, Pusher, he had a dream about you, and this happened. So I didn't never think nothing of it. I just always been like this. But then after having this experience, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Things are turned up. Intuition, turned up. Dream power, turned up. Just feeling stuff, turned up. I be seeing auras, turned up. I just know things. I just know stuff. I just know stuff. I just be knowing stuff. I be knowing where to go. Sense of direction, turned up. You know? I don't be needing a GPS. I be just feeling like I know where to go. It's just, I hope just things are different. My children, they're different. They're strange.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? So after that, you said everything is turned up.
Yeah, everything turned up. Like, I don't know. I used to, like, try to ignore this type of stuff. I see triple numbers. I see, you know, like, I know, I just be seeing stuff. White butterflies, white spiders, you know, white cats, white squirrels, white pigeons. Like, all these things be passing my path, stuff like that. I don't know.
Wow.
I didn't notice these things until after I had this experience. My tarot card skills were incredible. I didn't even know I had skills in that. You know, like, I didn't even know I was good at this. One day I was telling somebody about their life and the things that's happening to them, the why it's happening to them, what they need to do to get out of it. And I said, you don't believe me? Go pull the cards right now. And they're going to tell you exactly what I just said. And exactly what I just said, pull it came out on the cards. You know, Rodney Man, she know what I'm talking about.
Did you even know about tarot cards like that before this happened?
Never touched them beforehand.
Mm, okay. We have another caller in the queue. Caller three. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Terrence, it's Ava Holly. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Miss Holly?
Good. Just wanted to call in, support your show. I have a question for your guest, and thanks for sharing this interesting story. Do you know if you dream in color or black and white? I mean, I've always been fascinated by dreams, and people always ask me that. Do you know if you dream in color or black and white?
I know for myself, I dream in colors.
Yeah, sure. I do too, but I've heard that many people only dream in black and white, but I don't know what it means. I just was curious to know.
Yeah, I never had a black and white dream.
Wow. Yeah, I think mine are in color also. I don't know that I've had a black and white dream either, but I've always been fascinated by dreams, so that's amazing. But what a great story. What a great show. Thank you, guys. And thanks, Terrence. Just wanted to shout out and give you support.
Yes, Ms. Holly, when is your next show?
My next show is tomorrow, actually. So I'm looking forward to that and, you know, forward to hearing you guys again.
Yes. Okay, great. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate your comments, and thanks for calling in. This is crazy. Like, this story is just fascinating, and especially with what you're saying about how everything is turned up now since you've come back. So I guess your relationship with your friends are very different now since you've come back, right? Do you still have the same friends, or they're all gone? Like, what's the deal with that?
I don't got the same friend groups, because before I got shot, none of them came to see me when I was in the hospital. So everybody who didn't come see me, you automatically questionable as a friend. It's just certain people, they can't let me go because I'm the homie, you know. So I'm like, hey, you want to be around me, I'm gonna tell you what time it is, bro. Hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. Here, Tan, take this pistol with you, bro. You're going to be out there in the field like that, acting crazy. At least take this with you. Get your mind right a little bit. You know, I'm the hood healer. I don't know.
You're the hood. You said the hood healer?
I'll be out here staging the homies, you know, telling them about this, that, and the others. They might come over for a drink. Okay, we could sit here and have a quick Modelo, but you're about to sit here and hear this quick gospel I got for you. I can drop some knowledge on you, you know.
Wow.
If I get a message, I can't not tell you. I'm going to get in trouble if I don't tell you, you know. If I'm getting a message and it's coming to me, I have to let you know. So it's just like that.
Wow.
You know? Things
wow.
like that are different.
That's amazing.
Animals
man.
Are so
That's
attracted a... to me, and babies. Babies really? And animals will not leave me alone. That's crazy.
Wow.
That's why lady snatched a dog from me one time. I'm just like, lady, I didn't want your dog to come over here anyway. Like, they just come
okay,
over
here. Okay, we have Mr. Pullen, we got another caller in the queue. Caller four, who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Stephanie calling out of Philadelphia.
How are you doing, Miss Stephanie?
I'm doing great, thank you. I'm enjoying your show. I wanted to ask Elias, you mentioned the Golden Lady and what she had to say to you. But I was wondering, did you have a sense when you were over on the other side, did you have any sense or any perception of the divine, you know, or was that what the Golden Lady represented? What was
that's
that?
That's what I thought it was. I thought she was the divine. I thought she was the real deal. I never felt these feelings before. I never seen nothing like this before. And how would she know all this stuff about me? You know, that's why I think.
And it was a female presence as the divine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wow.
She gave me like this great grandma, great you know grandmother, great auntie. I didn't get a mother feeling because if you with your mom. You with your grandma, you with your sisters, you with your female cousins, you get different feelings from them. I recognize them at least, you know. And when I was with the Golden Lady, she was great grandma, auntie vibes, you know. She'd been around and been watching for a long time and knows everything type of vibe. So,
the God is
lots of comfort.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't mind sharing.
Thank you for calling in, Ms. Stephanie. Thanks for calling in. I think we have another caller in the queue, caller five. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Peace, you're speaking to Pony Bakatoon, the Magic Man. How you doing? Hall of Fame nominated, Terry Strength. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. Yeah. How are you doing, Mr. Pony Bak? Yes. How are you doing? This is a brother, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I definitely is enjoying the show, and I appreciate you, sir, for coming on and sharing your testimony. You know, a lot of times people vacate the body through a tragic event, as in the case of which you're sharing with us tonight, and what I'm going to do is reveal, not to take away from anything that you have shared so far, but I remember the first time I vacated the body was in 1991. Okay, and what was so unique about it is, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, what was so unique about it is anyone who studies prayer and meditation, you have to get to a point where you actually be able to control your breath and be able to stop and control your breath at will. And that takes time. And those of us who's human beings or living beings, to be able to take that journey, to really get to know yourself, it's going to take time, and the subconscious part of you is going to fight you like an unruly child because it's almost like the mysteries behind the door that's been kept from the minds of many for such a long time. So it took me a while to finally get it, and then when I became conscious to the point where I was completely out of my body, where I had my out-of-the-body experience, okay? And what's so unique about it, I was able to be able to look at the physical part of me on one hand, but I was actually able to hear the point where my physical body actually went to sleep, snoring and everything. Okay, so I'm actually being witness to it. And to the point where I said, okay, now I'm actually conscious of this here. And what's so unique about it, I was like, okay, so now if I'm watching the physical me and listening to the physical me that had actually fell asleep, right, then all of a sudden I say, well, who's the who that's actually bearing witness of this here? And then that's when, through an adrenaline rush, is the best way I can describe it, that I actually re-entered my physical body. but I was actually able to do that and with total recall. And just like what you're saying with us, a lot of times when we have that harmony with all in alls, I like to say, or actually become one, a lot of times when you do come back to a state of consciousness, your abilities has been enhanced. And I can actually bear witness to that myself. So I definitely want to take time to share that. Thank you so much for this really, really intriguing show.
Thank you for sharing yours.
Thanks for calling in, Honey. Appreciate you, brother. When is your next show, Honey?
Oh, wow. I'm glad you asked that, sir. Thank you. My next show is actually going to be June 30th. And
okay.
My topic actually just came to me right away. It's called My Methods of Motivation. And I'm going to share some of mine. I'm definitely looking forward to great beings like yourself, Hall of Fame nominated terrorists, to come on. Because in this day and time, we've got people that's losing it. And, you know, I want to put that question out there. With all the people that's actually losing it, hopefully it won't be everybody, but what are some of the things that keep you motivated? And by you being who and what you are, Terrence, for our great, great company and the things in which you are doing for the world, you're definitely a strong motivation for me. You understand? So I'm definitely proud of you, man. I'm going to put it on pause and listen to the rest of the show.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate you, brother. So we're about to wrap this up, Mr. Poon. So what are your final thoughts before we go into indulgent time? What do you want the world to know? I'm flabbergasted by your story, and especially hearing after you came back how everything is different for me, and everything is, I like how you put that, everything is turned up, and you just know that you're on a mission now. What are your final thoughts to the audience?
Be looking for my book. It gives all the juicy, in-depth, between-the-line details. It's fall, coming out this fall. Two,
that's
just be kinder
to
one another. Just be a little kinder to one another. A little kinder. Might go a long way if we all doing it. And then the last thing I want to say, love yourself, okay? Because you're being a little too harsh on yourself. Somebody need to hear this. You're being way too harsh on yourself. For real. Let that shit go. Love yourself and keep it pushing. Okay?
So you're saying that we all need to be more loving.
To one another and self. Start with yourself, then
yes.
Everybody else. Because, man.
Got it.
And what's the last thing I want to say? I'll be in New York on the 18th, doing the Soul Melanated event. So if you can be there, that'd be cool. I'd love to see some of y'all in person, you know, share some energy with you, get a hug or two, you know. I love hugs.
Exactly.
You know. So,
exactly.
Yeah. I appreciate everyone listening. I appreciate all the love. I appreciate all the good energy. I appreciate you having me here, you know, because I'm not scared to share. I'm not scared to share, and I can talk to anybody.
The pleasure is all mine. And as you said, Brother Poon said, the Melanated Soul Expo, June 18th, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. He's going to be there in person. He's a featured speaker there. I'm going to be there as a moderator. We would love for you guys to come down. That's June 18th on a Saturday from 12 to 6 p.m. And our final thoughts from Brother O. Brother O.
WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewe Ngozi. At Facebook, any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mothers and fathers, favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J., saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to to the class of 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee, Terrence Strength.
Oh, wow. That's different. Thank you. All right, so I want to thank everyone for chiming in this evening, all the hosts who called in and made some comments. I love you. I appreciate you. Your comments are important and definitely needed. I definitely want to thank Mr. Paulin for coming in here and sharing his story. It is an outstanding story of spirituality, of expansion, and just an outrageous story that we all need to check out and everything. I'm looking forward to seeing him on June 18th. I'm glad you guys listened in on this conversation, and I will see you guys in a month with something else exciting that I'm working on. So I will see you guys in a month. Remember, tell somebody you love them.